Okay, Rabbi Yisai, today's daf is daf Pei Beis. And we're starting from a Mishnah at the top of the Yomud. The Mishnah on the surface seems very, very simple. But the way the Gemara interprets it and the way Rashi interprets it, it's a little bit more complicated. The basics are straightforward. Hatinoikos ein ma'anen oisen b'yom ha'kippurim. The tinoikos, children, you don't allow them to go and be ma'ana themselves. Ma'ana themselves, of course, means to go and fast on Yom Kippur. Rashi has a very interesting lashon. Rashi says at the top, "Ein ma'anan oisan, ein chayovin limnoya mehen machel." There is no requirement to refrain from feeding them. No requirement to refrain from putting all food aside. It's mashu from the Rashi, although there is no chiyuv limnoya, no requirement to refrain from giving them machel. What happens if they themselves, at the age of 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, whatever, they decide, we think we're strong enough, we ate a lot yesterday on the day before Yom Kippur, we think we can manage. It's mashva from Rashi's Lashon, that's okay, we can allow them. The only problem is that we should not do anything positively to have them refrain. But if they themselves want to refrain from eating, that's okay. However, the Rambam and other Rishonim disagree and say, no, we do not allow them to fast. If they say, I want to fast, we say, young man, wait until you become bar mitzvah. When you become bar mitzvah, then you'll fast at that time. Anyway, machlokes. Avol mechanchen oisan. However, we are mechanach them. We begin to train them in. Lefnei shona v'lefnei shnosayim. A year before or 2 years before. V'shvil shiyirigilim b'mitzvah. So that they should be rogel. In other words, no different than any other din of chinuch. We want children to go and learn the mitzvahs before they become bar mitzvah. So we have them wear tzitzis. We have them sit in the sukkah. We have them eat shmura matzah on Pesach. So similarly to here, we're mechanach them. Now how are we mechanach them? We'll see in Yetshim in the Gemara, in Machloikis, whether the chinuch is to have them eat a little bit later than usual. The Gemara gives an example. Let's say you have a child that every morning eats breakfast at 8 o'clock. So you mechanach them, they'll wait until 9 o'clock or until 10 o'clock, and then they will eat. According to some, however, the chinuch will be not only to start later, but as we get closer to bar mitzvah or bas mitzvah, we'll mechanach them not to eat at all. In other words, to before the bar mitzvah, before the bas mitzvah, to fast the whole day. Which we'll see much more about that in the Gemara. Now, if we learn the Mishnah simply, it would sound like that the chinuch begins a year or 2 years before they become bar mitzvah and bas mitzvah, respectively. However, the Gemara is going to understand our Mishnah that lefnei shana doesn't mean a year before, lefnei shana time, 2 years before, but rather lefnei shana means 2 years before, and lefnei shana sayim means 3 years before. So instead of 1 and 2 years before, it means 2 and 3 years before. Where does the Gemara take this from? So, as we'll see Mechem in the Gemara, the reason is because if the Mishnah meant 1 year or 2 years before a boy or girl become bar mitzvah or bas mitzvah, it should have said mechanchen oisan shana oishnosayim. Why does it say lefnei shana for lefnei shnosayim? And therefore Rashi explains, as the Gemara will explain, that at least the Gemara and the Havamin understands this to mean a year before the year and a year before the 2 years before the boy or girl become bar mitzvah or bas mitzvah, respectively. Since the Gemara is going to immediately focus on a girl as the first case, why don't we talk about a girl? A girl, as we know, becomes bas mitzvah at the age of 12. So learning the Gemara or learning the Mishnah is simply, we would expect the Gemara to explain the Mishnah that the chinuch begins either at age 11 or age 10. That would be a year before or 2 years before, instead of age 12, when she becomes bas mitzvah, then of course she's mechuyeves lihis anois. Then she, of course, she has to fast. But we have a year or 2 years before, meaning already from the age of 11 or 10. However, that's not the way the Gemara learns it, not the way Rashi learns it, but because of the lifnei shana means that we start being mechanech at the age of 10 or the age of 9. Age of 10 or age of 9, because we go lifnei shana, before the year. In other words, if we say shana, that would mean from the age of 11. Lifnei shana means the age of 10. And then the Mishnah said, not only 10, lifnei shana sign, even from the age of 9. And the obvious question that the Gemara is going to ask as soon as we start is, I don't understand why you're saying that. Why does the Mishnah have to say both from the age of 9 and the age of 10? Once we say from the age of 9, then of course from the age of 10. And certainly from the age of 11. Because after all, once you say that you start the chinuch at the age of 9, then obviously when you get to 10, there'll only be a greater din of chinuch, not a lesser din. So why does it have to say both 9 and 10? Anyway, that's the way Rashi learns pshat in the Mishnah. Not from the age of 10 or 11 by a girl, which would be simple, shana or shnasayim. It says, lefnei shana, lefnei shnasayim. That means from the age of 9 and from the age of 10. So, Kimar, hash lefnei shtayim, mechanchim lehu, marach that we start by a girl, being mechanach from the age of 9, lefnei shana, miboya. Why does the Mishnah have to say from the age of 10? Of course, if you're already mechanach from 9, then certainly 10 is included. Oh, it depends on the physical or the physicality of this particular child. Again, let's talk about a girl, because that's going to be the case on the next line. If you're talking about a strong girl, then have her already being mechunach or mechunachas from the age of 9. So that for those 2-3 years before she becomes bas mitzvah, already 9, 10, 11, she is for 3 years being careful about her consumption on Yom Kippur. Not that we exclude all consumption. No. We let her continue eating. However, if she normally starts eating breakfast at 8, we start at 9, we start at 10, etc. That's by a bari. If it's by a chola, then we wouldn't start at the age of 9, we would start at the age of 10. Now the word chola over here doesn't mean chas v'shalom, a girl that's constantly sick. Rashi says it means kochush v'toshech koyach, a girl that is thin and is not as strong in terms of her strength, her natural physical strength, like other girls her age. So since she happens to be a little bit of a weakling, therefore we don't start her off on fasting or even not eating for an extra hour or two until she becomes 10 years old, as opposed to the bari or the briyah, which would start at 9 years old. So that's the pshat of Rav Chisda. Now we're going to start with Rav Huna and Rav Nachman and Rav Yochanan. They are not directly going on the Mishnah. They're having a machloikis generally, and then we're going to see whether or not their viewpoints, whether they stem with the Mishnah or not. So we start off with Rav Huna. I'm Rav Huna. And Rav Huna is specifically talking about a girl. Even though the Lashon HaGemara is ben, ignore that, act as if it said bas. So Rav Huna says, ben ches u ben tes, mechanchen oysa lishois. If you're talking about a girl, once she gets to the age of 8, or the age of 9, we are mechanacher lishois, meaning that instead of eating breakfast at 8, she'll eat breakfast at 9 or at 10. So that means lishois. Slowly but surely, in small increments, we start being mechanach. Ben yud u ben yud aleph. Once the girl gets to the age of 10 or 11, mashlim in midrabanan. Then we're going to be mashlim. That means we're going to say, starting from the age 10, okay, young lady, do not eat at all on Yom Kippur. Or from the age of 11, don't eat at all. Once she hits ben yud beis, bas mitzvah, then mashlim ederaisa, then avada the din of hashlam min ha-toira, then there's no chinuch anymore. Now that she's 12 years old, she's bat mitzvah, then from that point on, avada she has to go be mashlim the whole day, be inui, because she's a bas mitzvah. And of course, Rav Huna is talking about the tinoikis by a girl, like we started off. Now the question is, why does Rav Huna say ben ches ben tes, and then ben yud ben yud aleph? And once again, Rashi explains, because Rav Huna is differentiating between a girl that is a bria and a girl that is a kechusha or a chola, a girl that is strong, that at the age of 8 years old she should start already eating later in the day on Yom Kippur. Instead of at 8 o'clock, she'll eat at 9 o'clock. However, if she's a kechusha, if she doesn't have that strong metabolism, that strong physicality, she's a shvacha, a weaker girl, then we start at the age of 9. So the 8 and 9 is mechanchen oisam lishois, not to go and fast the whole day. The girl is only 8 or 9 years old. So only going to fast in increments, slowly but surely. Instead of 8 o'clock eating breakfast, she'll eat 9 o'clock, she'll eat 10 o'clock. That's by mechinuch lishois. Starting at the age of 10 or 11, again 10 if she's a bria, she is strong. Yid aleph, 11 if she is a kechusha, then mashlim midraban, and then we have already fast midraban. So that's of course a big chiddush of Rav Huna, that a 10-year-old girl, if she's a strong girl, we have her already fast on Yom Kippur the entire day. Now obviously, if it gets late in the afternoon and she's hungry, we're going to let her eat. I mean, pikuach nefesh applies across the board to everybody. But if she can, we have her be mashlima. She finishes off the entire Tanis already from the age of 10. And if he's shvacher, if she's a weaker girl, then she starts at the age of 11. But of course at the age of 12, everybody agrees you have to go and be mashlim, because she's a full-fledged bas mitzvah. Rav Nachman agrees exactly with Rav Huna. In fact, word for word like Rav Huna. The only difference is that Rav Nachman talks about a boy instead of a girl. And since by a boy, as we know, you become bar mitzvah at the age of 13, so the same time limitations or the same age categories that Rav Huna had for a girl, we're going to have for Rav Nachman, but for a boy, we're just going to add one more year each time. So Rav Nachman Amar, ben tes, ben yud, mechanchen oisim lishois. If you're talking about lishois, meaning that, like we said before, breakfast instead of at 8 will be at 9 or 10 o'clock. That type of chinuch lishois. By a boy, we start at the age of 9 or 10. 9 if the boy is strong, 10 if the boy is shvach. And when it comes to the din of hashlama, in other words, fasting the entire day, by a boy will start at yud aleph at 11 if the boy is strong. Ben yud beis at the age of 12 if the boy is shvach, weakling. Mashlim midrabanan, and then Yud Gimel at the age of bar mitzvah, mashlim midaraisa. Then of course you have a chiyah midaraisa because you're a full-fledged Jew at the time of bar mitzvah. And again, it's talking about pitinok. Tinok meaning by a boy instead of a girl. So as you see very clearly, like Rashi says, Rav Huna and Rav Nachman say exactly the same thing, except Rav Huna is talking about a girl, Rav Nachman is talking about a boy, but both of them agree that there are two stages. Stage number one of chinuch l'sho'os, which begins either at 8 or 9 by a girl, 9 or 10 by a boy, depending on whether the boy or the girl is strong physically or not. And then you have the next stage, that's the stage of hashlama, which means inoy midrabanan, that you don't eat at all. Well, according to Rav Huna, that is the age of 10 or 11, and according to Rav Nachman, that is at the age of 11 or 12. Again, he is talking about a tinoikes, and Rav Nachman is talking about a tinoik. But no machlokes. Rav Yochanan Amar Hashlama Drabanan Leka. I disagree fundamentally. There is no such concept of a young boy or a young girl before their bar mitzvah or their bas mitzvah of having to fast the whole day. Nishdo azazach. No such thing. Rather, ben yud aleph, I agree with you, both to Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, that we have these two ages prior to bar mitzvah and bas mitzvah, and therefore I say the ben yud aleph, he is chapping on the lashon of Rav Huna by a girl, that instead yud aleph being the hashlama years, says Rav Yochanan, no, these are the chinuch years, that if you have a girl, that at the age of 12 years old she becomes bas mitzvah. Then starting from the age of 11, if she is a kechusha, a chola, 1 year before, or mechanach l'shois, don't eat breakfast at 8, eat breakfast at 9 o'clock. If she's a strong girl, then we already started a year earlier at the age of 10. But both the 10 and the 11 is not to fast the whole day. No such thing as hashlam adraban. Only chinuch l'shois. However, ben yudbeis, once the girl becomes 12 years old, she's bas mitzvah. Mashlim adraban, and of course she has to go and fast the whole day because she's a full-fledged Jewess. Mechuyavos b'mitzvahs, like all other mitzvahs in the Torah. Okay, so that's machloikis between Rav Huna and Rav Nachman. And Rabbi Yochanan, that's in Halacha. Now the question is, how do we see that in the Mishnah? Or, to put it differently, is the Mishnah consistent with the Halacha of Rav Huna and Rav Nachman? Or is it consistent with Rabbi Yochanan? Talk to more tonight. Let's go back to the Mishnah. Hatinoikis ein ma'an oisam yemi kippurim al mechanchen oisam lefnei shana lefnei shtayim. Tinoikis, no din of inoy. Like Rashi said, we do not force them to stop eating. We allow them to eat. However, starting from lefnei shana, lefnei shtayim, mechanchen oisam, we start training them. We start teaching them. So let's see how that works. Remember, when we say lifnei shana v'lifnei shnatayim, we said already, as we learned the Mishnah, that lifnei shana doesn't mean a year before bas mitzvah or 2 years before bas mitzvah, but lifnei shana v'lifnei shnatayim means 2 years before or 3 years before. And again, the reason is because it doesn't say in the Mishnah shana or shnasayim. It says lifnei shana v'lifnei shnasayim. And that extra word lifnei suggests that we're talking about a year before the year. So again, if we're talking about a girl who at the age of 12 becomes bas mitzvah, if we say shana or shnasayim, I would say that means from the ages of 10 or 11. But because it says lifnei shana, lifnei shnasayim, then it's going to start from 9 or 10. That's how Rashi learns the Mishnah, and that's how the Gemara is going to learn it now. It says Gemara, "Is Bishlam Laravuna Barav Nachman Lifnei Shana Vlifnei Shtayim?" That means Lifnei Shana to the Hashlama LeDivrayim, Vlifnei Shtayim to the Hashlama, not LeDivrayim. The Bach takes it out, but LeDivrei Torah. Ah, so what does that mean? So once again, it says in the Mishnah, "Lifnei Shana Vlifnei Shnasayim." So the way Rashi learns Pshat, according to Rav Huna and according to Rav Nachman, what we're going to say is that both, if you remember when Rav Chizda at the top of the Amid was posed with the question, Hashem b'fnei shtayim mechanchen, b'fnei shana meboye, so Rav Chizda answered, Leikasha, ha b'chola, ha b'bari, that if it's a chola, it's only 1 year before, or the way we explained the Mishnah, 2 years before, Habibari, but if it's a strong girl or a strong boy, then it's 3 years before. Aha. Yeah, now the Gemara, that's according to Rav Chizda, that one is by a chol, one's by a bari. The way Rashi explains Rav Huna Rav Nachman, the Mishnah is only talking about a chola. We're not talking about a bari, we're talking about a chola. Chol again means a kechusha, not chas v'shalom, someone who's lying in bed all day. We're talking about a person who is, by his or her natural physicality, is not a strong individual. It's a bit of a weakling. Okay, so Zokti Mar. The Mishnah Rav Huna Rav Nachman. Lifnei shana v'lifnei shtayim. What does that mean? Lifnei shana, which again means 2 years, before divrehen. Now what means divrehen? So remember that according to Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, we start off, let's talk about a girl. To make life matter, like life easy. By a girl, we said 12 years old, she is responsible to go and fast the whole day. After all, she's 12 years old, she's a bas mitzvah. What did Rav Huna Rav Nachman say? That 2 years before that, up to 2 years before that, we have a din of hashlama midraban. That means that if she's a weak girl, at the age of 11, she starts fasting a whole day. If she's a strong girl, then she starts fasting the whole day at the age of 10. And then we said that the Gabi Chinuch L'Sha'ois, we start again. If it happens to be a strong girl, we go all the way back to the age of 8. And if she's a weakling, we start at the age of 9. So 8 for strong, 9 for a weakling for purposes of chinuch l'shoyis, 10 for a strong girl, 11 for a weakling for hashlama. Rashi says that Rav Huna and Rav Nachman are going to interpret our Mishnah by a girl that's 9 years old. Or according to Rav Nachman, 10 years old by a boy. But let's focus on a girl so we don't get confused. So, we have a 9-year-old girl. Now this 9-year-old girl, we're being mechanach. That's the Lashon of Mishnah, mechanchen oisa. So mechanach sounds like training them in lishois. Lishois meaning, getting at 8 o'clock, eating breakfast, you eat breakfast at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock, later in the day. Ah, so when do you start that? You're going to go and start that lifnei shana v'lifnei shtayim, shnosayim. Either a year or 2 years, which means either 2 years or 3 years before what? So Rashi explains we're talking about a 9-year-old girl, who therefore is a kechusha, not a bari, she is a chole, a kechusha. Okay, so what's her din? So the chinuch l'shoyis would begin at the age of 9. Aha. So if it's the beginning of the age of 9, so in terms of when would a girl normally start fasting, midrabanon, normally start fasting, at the age, by we're talking about a kechusha, she would start fasting at the age of 11. Aha. So this 9-year-old, we're being mechanecher 2 years before lidivrehen. And the word lifnei shana means shana would be 1 year before lidivrehen. Lifnei shana means 2 years before lidivrehen. Aha. So since this 11-year-old girl who is a weakling starts fasting from the age of 11, midrabanan, so 2 years before that will be the age of 9. And since she's going to go and fast midyaraisa at the age of 12, so then lefnei shtayim means 3 years before she becomes 12. And therefore, the Mishnah, what it says, lefnei shana, lefnei shnasayim, is really talking about the exact same age, that the girl is 9 years old. And the 9 years old is computed by 2 years before she starts fasting midivrehen, which would be at 11, and lefnei shnasayim, 3 years before she starts fasting min hatorah. And therefore they're both exactly the same time, at the age of 9 years old. So therefore the original kashiv our Gemara, once we say bifnei shtayim, bifnei shana mibaya, and Rav Chisda answered, ha-b'chola ha-b'bari, that's not how Rav Huna and Rav Nachman explained the Mishnah. They say we're talking about the exact same girl who is 9 years old, and she is a chola, she is a kechusha. And therefore, lefnei shana means 2 years before she's mashlim midrabanan, lefnei shnasayim means 3 years before she's mashlim min haTorah, and therefore that means 2 years before 11, 3 years before 12 years old, which means that she's a 9 year old. A 9 year old girl is a kechusha that we're mechanchen oisim l'shoyis. That's how Rav Huna and Rav Nachman explain the Mishnah. Again, according to Rav Nachman, he would say we're not talking about a girl, we're talking about a boy, 10-year-old boy, which for him is also 3 years before Hashlama D'Araisa, before his Bar Mitzvah, and 2 years before his Hashlama D'Rabbanan, the age of 12. But again, it's the same shot. Here you're talking about a boy, and here you're talking about a girl. Thank you, my little Rabbi Yochanan Kasha. How is Rabbi Yochanan going to explain our Mishnah? Now, how did Rabbi Yochanan say before? Rabbi Yochanan said before that there is no din of Hashlama D'Rabbanan. There's only a din of Chinuch D'Oraisa. And he says that Chinuch starts from, there's only a din of Chinuch D'Rabbanan, not Hashlama D'Rabbanan. And if there's a din of Chinuch D'Rabbanan, when does that start off from? So again, he says, Ben Yud Aleph. He's talking about a girl. So a girl from the age of 10, or the age of 11, we stop being mechanach them. 1 second. Our Mishnah says, lefnei shana, for lefnei shana sign, which would mean 2 years before, or 3 years before. So, we're not talking about a girl that's 10 or 11, we're talking about a girl that's 9 or 10. Yet, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it says, ben yud aleph, 10 or 11. L'choira, Rabbi Yochanan, kasha. Omlech Rabbi Yochanan, my shana oishtayim samach leperkon. What is Rabbi Yochanan answering? Rabbi Yochanan says, you keep on focusing on Lefnei, on Lefnei. No. When it says in the Mishnah, Lefnei Shana, Lefnei Shana Sayim, what it really means is a year or two before the girl becomes bas mitzvah, or a boy before he becomes bar mitzvah. So not like we've been learning until now, Lefnei Shana, 2 years before, Lefnei Shana Sayim, 3 years before, but no. The words Lefnei Shana v'Lefnei Shana Sayim mean Shana Oy Shana Sayim, a year or 2 years before Pirkan, the time that they become bas mitzvah or bar mitzvah respectively. And therefore, let's talk about a girl, because that's what Rabbi Yochanan spoke about before. Rabbi Yochanan says that the word mechanchen doesn't mean hashlama, it means chinuch le mitzvois. Chinuch le mitzvos means chinuch le sha'ois, which means that instead of eating breakfast at 8, we eat breakfast at 9. When do we start that? We start that a year or 2 years before the girl becomes bas mitzvah. That's what means shana shana sayim, a year or 2 years before bas mitzvah. Ah, so that's exactly what Rabbi Yochanan said. Rabbi Yochanan said ben yud aleph. Again, he's talking about a girl. So it's bas yud aleph. Mechanchen oisam v'shoyis, starting from the age of 10 or 11, that's a year or 2 years before. And said Rabbi Yochanan ben Yud Beis, once the girl hits 12 years old, which means she's bas mitzvah, then of course mashlim midarais, and then she has to fast the whole day, min hator. Rabbi Yochanan's pshat l'choira fits in very nicely, the way you would normally learn the Mishnah, without the prior Gemara, without the prior Rashi. Lefnei Shana Lefnei Shana Sayim doesn't mean add an additional year, 2 years before Bas Mitzvah, 3 years before Bas Mitzvah. No. It means 1 year before and 2 years before. How do you get to one or two? Again, Rabbi Yochanan would learn, like Rav Chizda did at the top of the Amud, Habachola, Habibari, by a chola we start a year before to be Mechanach L'Sha'ois, and by a bari or Briah, we would start 2 years before. Toshima, let's try to bring a raya again to either Rav Huna, Rav Nachman, or Rabbi Yochanan, Toshima, the Tony Rabbi Bashmuth. There's no such thing as inui midrabanon. There's only chinuch l'sha'ois. We never ask a boy or a girl before they become bar mitzvah or bas mitzvah, a year before or 2 years before, go and fast the whole day. No such thing. We only do chinuch l'sha'ois that we delay their eating breakfast or lunch or whatever, as we'll see in the Gemara in another couple of lines. And that's what Rabbi Bashmul says. Tinoikis, no such thing. If they're a tinoik or tinoikis, meaning pre bar mitzvah, bas mitzvah, no din of inui. Aval mechanchen oisin shana oishtaim samach lepirkan. Ya chinach sha'ois, ya avada. That yes, a year or 2 years before to train them in slowly. The Bishlan of Yochanan Nicha, Kunter Yochanan of Yochanan, says Rabbi Shmuel, I'm on your side. I never held the din of Hashlama Midrabanan, only din of Chinuch Sha'ois Midrabanan. And that's exactly like I said, a year or 2 years before. So by a girl, it would be at the age of 10 or the age of 11. So that works out perfectly. And Rav Huna, Rav Nachman Kasha, because both Rav Huna and Rav Nachman said very, very strongly, know that there is a din of Hashlama Midrabanan, and above that, or prior to that, is a din of Chinuch Shois. And that's why Rav Huna said we start all the way at the age of 8 or 9 for Chinuch Shois, and then at 10 or 11 for Hashlama. Rabbi Rav Shmuel doesn't seem to learn that way. Amilach Rabbanon, both Rav Huna and Rav Nachman can answer, May chinuch nami diktani hashlama. When Rabbi Bashmul uses the term, Av mechanchen oisan, that's what he means. He doesn't mean chinuch l'sha'ois, he means chinuch l'hashlama. That a year or 2 years before, meaning 2 or 3 years before, we are mechanach l'hashlama. What means l'hashlama? That midrabanan, the boy or the girl should start fasting a full day, even though they're not bar mitzvah or bas mitzvah yet. Freit imara, umi kari l'chinuch hashlama? Really? Chinuch is called hashlama? V'tanya, eze chinuch? What's the definition of chinuch? Chinuch l'sha'ois. Hayiroga lechol b'shtei sha'ois. Shtei Shois means at 8 o'clock, right? If you assume that the day is 24 hours, 12 hours day, 12 hours night, so therefore day starts at 6 o'clock in the morning, so a child would eat breakfast at Shtei Shois means at 8 o'clock. If he or she, until now, at 8, at 8 o'clock, machin oisim l'sholosh, then we serve them breakfast at 9. If they normally eat b'sholosh at 9 o'clock, machin oisim b'arba, then we give them to eat at 10. So we see that chinuch means chinuch sho'os, not hashlomo. Amrav bar uva, t'rei chinuch yava. No, the term chinuch can be used in both connections. We're mechanach them by training them slowly but surely l'sho'os. Don't eat breakfast at 8, eat breakfast at 9. Don't eat breakfast at 9, eat breakfast at 10. That's one definition of chinuch. But there's another definition of chinuch, and that is that even before they become bar ubas mitzvah, we have them fast the entire day, the entire day, according to Rav Huna and Rav Nachman. It depends on whether it's a boy or a girl, but assuming they were talking about a girl, a strong girl is at the age of 10, fast the whole day. A weakling, we have her fast at the age of 11 the entire day. That's by a girl, by a boy a year later. Rav Yochanan says, no, aloi mitan aleph. No. No such thing as causing or having a young boy, a young girl fast the entire day. Chinuch only means lishois. Okay, that Gemara was a little bit challenging in constantly having to remember an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, etc. From here, it's quite smooth sailing in Yetzisham. Dr. Mishnah, Ubra Sheheiricha, we have a mommy who is pregnant. And the Mishnah poses the fact case, the fact example of a child inside, meaning the fetus, Sheheiricha. The fetus is the one that's smelling some delicious food out there, and therefore the fetus inside is beginning to agitate and say, I want to eat. And no matter what you do with this uber, the uber insists on eating. So what do? Machin oisach etoshem nafshi. You have no choice. Chas v'shalom, there will be a bikuach nefesh, either for the fetus, or for the mommy, or for both. And therefore, we have the mommy eat etoshem nafshi until the baby stops agitating inside, and therefore that everybody is happy. There's no din over here, kikoisis, there's no din of a lugmav. As much as you need at Yatasha Nafsha, hopefully it'll even be less than the shear. But if it won't, then you give them the full shear, or you give them more. After all, there's a din of Pikuach Nefesh, as the Gemara is going to explain, and Pikuach Nefesh is Doiche, every single halacha in the Torah, with the exception of the three cardinal sins, the Yehorig Val Yavar, as we'll see. Chola, what happens if you're a regular person who's never a chola? Machin Oise Al Pi Bikir. You don't allow that person just to eat just because he or she says, I have a stomachache or I have the sniffles. If two bikin, the Gemara is going to say bikin means two rofim, that's what Rashi says in the Mishnah, two doctors. If two doctors say, yeah, this person has to eat, you feed the person. The main shem bikin, what happens if you don't have two doctors? What happens if you don't even have one doctor? Then you feed this individual on Yom Kippur based on his or her own statement that I have to eat. Like the Gemara is going to quote tomorrow the Pasuk, Lev Yoideya Moras Nafshay. A person feels in his heart and his mind, he knows when the time has come that he has to eat. So if a person says, I have to eat, you don't ask any questions. If he feels that he is Ba'umayim ad nofesh, that it's already a sakana, you feed the person at Shehimadai until he says, okay, genuk, Baruch Hashem, I'm back to normal again. Or at least, I'm sufficiently satisfied that I can hold out for the rest of the Tatis. Zokti Martan Rabban. We start again. Ubra Sheiricha. A uber that smelled Basar Kodesh or Basar Chazir. Either Basar Kodesh, Kachin, or Basar Chazir, Chazir Shalom, Chazir. And the uber says, I want to eat. So, toichun la kush beraitiv. A kush is, in modern day terms, something like a Q-tip. A Q-tip, which is long, as you know. And you take the Q-tip. Now, this price, by the way, is not talking necessarily in Yom Kippur. It could even be talking on a regular day of the week. And the Basar Kodesh that we're talking about is Basar Kodesh that the Uber is not allowed to eat. For instance, a Karban Ola, for instance. Okay, so the Ubra and the Mami that's bearing this Ubra, they say, we gotta eat Basar Kodesh and Basar Chazer. Toichen LaKush, so that they shouldn't come Lidei Sakana. You go and take a kush like a Q-tip, and you dip it beroitiv. Beroitiv means in the sauce, the gravy of this basar, koydish or basar chazir. One second, please, Barry. And you put it on the mouth of the isha mu'uberis, and you let her suck from it. In the siyash v'daita, if she says, okay, Baruch Hashem, I got over it, I'm fine, I'm not going to go and miscarry, everything is fine, mutter, then you stop over there. The Imlav, however, if she says no, the baby inside is continuing to agitate and says, I have to eat, I have to eat, and I want to eat dafka for this basar kodesh or basar chazir, machil oisa roitavatva, then we allow them even to go and eat from the juice or the gravy itself, because the juice of the gravy, after all, is not the basar itself, it's only a derivative. And yes, tam ki ikar, machloikis teraisa, dirabonon, all of that is true. Oh, but the mice, it's still not like the etzem isur itself or the basar kodesh or the basar chazir. It's not good. The imlav, however, if the baby still agitated, said, no, I'm not satisfied with the roitiv. I want a piece of basar. Machin oisa shuman atzmai. The word shuman over here means the actual fats, meaning the actual meat itself. Why? You're not allowed to eat chas v'sholmi, eat from basar kodesh, basar chazir. I don't want Chas V'Sholem this Uber to die, and I certainly don't want the Mami to die. And Rashi says, if the Uber says, I have to eat, it's a sakana for both of them, both for the Uber and for the Mami. So we try, if we can, to wean them off of this tremendous desire to eat by feeding them just a kush. In other words, like giving them a lollipop equivalent, go and suck a little bit from the end of this Q-tip, maybe that'll satisfy the Uber or the Mami. If it doesn't, feed them some roitiv, and if not, then give them the roitiv atma, and if not, give them the actual food item itself, so they shouldn't come the day pikuach nefesh. Now, Barry had a question. What's your question, Barry?
How could we ever have basar kodesh of an ola as not on a mizbeach and have rotev? There's no rotev by basar kosher. I understand by the non-kosher meat, you could have this, a neighbor's cooking it or something. But the example of basar kodesh of an ola, it doesn't work. The ola is cool color, it goes on mizbeach. And the only way you could smell is if it's a zara, and there's never any rotev. And if you take it out, then it's already puzzled, it's going to chutz the klayim. So I don't understand the example of ola.
Very good. So when you said that maybe your next door neighbor is cooking kachim, if he or she is cooking kachim, that would be a shlamim, and that would be in Yerushalayim. So then everybody would be able to eat. Even Isha Muberis, even the next door neighbor, should have to ask for a favor, please let me eat. Or she would have to go and pay the person to go and eat. But that wouldn't be a problem. Now, you don't like the case of the ola, because the ola you're not going to go and cook. Agreed. So, if you prefer talking about, for instance, a chatas or an asham, which can only be eaten by zichrei kohuna, and not by nikvei kohuna, a Mrs. Cohen cannot eat from an asham or karma chatas, so that would be an easy case, that she is standing there in the ezras nashim, and she smells this delicious asham and chatas cooking inside the azara, and she says, I have to eat something from it. But it could conceivably be an ola as well, because although we don't cook the ola, but it could be from the time period after the shechita until putting the evarim on the mizbeach, where there's a time interval of typically up to an hour. Why does it take so long? Because we have to go and first strip the animal of its hide, and then we have to go and cut it into pieces. We also have to remove all of the schmutz inside and rinse that all out, etc. So during that period of time, some of the pieces of the ola could be lying on the basement b'chaim, and there could be body juices from the behema which are being emitted, not rotev in the sense of cooked soup, but in the form of just juices coming out, and the baby smells that. Now, you and I might not consider that to be the most beautiful scent that a person would want to go and eat from it, but babies are babies. They haven't been taught yet that there's a difference between a baby that is between raw meat and between cooked meat. So if that baby says, I have to eat, and you put the kush in. Anyway, the point is, we're talking about kodshim that the baby could not eat. If you're not happy with the only example, give an example of a chatas or an asher. But anyway, beginning back to our Gemara, the Gemara says now that bikuach nefesh is doicha every single lav in the Torah, every single mitzvah, chutz except for avodah zarah, gili aroyos, shvichas dam. The Gemara here in the Amud Aleph doesn't tell us what the makoyer is that bikuach nefesh is doicha, but Rashi brings in the Amud Beis from the pasuk it says v'chai behem, and the Gemara dashes v'chai behem v'loy shiyomus behem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us all the mitzvahs so that we should live with the mitzvahs and not chas v'sholem pass away as a result of the Kiyama Mitzvah, with the exception of the three cardinal sins, Chutz Mi'avodah Zarah, Gili Arayos, Shvichas Damim, that even though we're talking about Pikuach Nefesh, you have to say, I'm willing to give away my life for these three Aveiros, or these three Mitzvahs. And the Gemara explains, Avodah Zarah Minol, how do I know? Maybe even by Avodah Zarah, you have to give away your life for Ket. Maybe you should not give away your life for Avodah Zarah. Now, what is an example of giving you away your life for Avodah Zarah? So, very simple. There is an Avodah Zarah there in front of you. You're a religious Jew. You know that you're not allowed to go and bow down to an Avodah Zarah. And a goy comes over to you with a pistol or with a knife and says, if you're not going to go and bow down to the Avodah Zarah, I'm going to shoot. I give you 3 seconds to decide. One, two, three. What were you going to do? So any other Aveira, for instance, if he says, if you don't eat this piece of chazir, I'm going to go and shoot you, then you have to eat the piece of chazir. Because that's a din of pikuach nefesh, is doicha every single din in the Torah. You don't give up your life because of the chazir. However, because of the avodah zarah, if he says, I'm going to go and shoot you unless you're going to go and bow down, you have to say, mister, shoot. I am not going to bow down to the avodah zarah. Frankly, when Minola, how do I know? Desire. The pasuk that we say every day in Kriya Shema, at least 3 or 4 times a day. Reb Lezer Oimer, Em nema b'chol na'afshecha, lom nema b'chol meidecha, v'em nema b'chol meidecha, lom nema b'chol na'afshecha. V'yahavta eis Hashem alekecha, b'chol levavcha, b'chol na'afshecha, b'chol meidecha. Why does it say b'chol meidecha, b'chol na'afshecha? Em yesh lecha adam shegufei chavav alav mimoinai. If you have a person who is more concerned about his body than his money, l'kach nema b'chol na'afshecha. Then you go and say, mister, even if he's threatening to kill you, you have to be willing to give away your neshama. You have to love Hashem b'chol nafshcha, even to the point of mamish mesiras nefesh. Not mesiras nefesh the way we use the term, that you're dedicated and devoted. Mesiras nefesh, that you're willing to give away your soul by being killed. If you have a person whose mammon is more precious than your life, what was the old expression, your money or your life, if for him money is more chaviv, that if the person sticks you up and says, you have to give me all of your money, bow down to this avodah zarah, you have to be willing to give away your entire fortune and give it away to that person who is threatening you, because bikuach nefesh is not docha avodah zarah. Now, on the surface, when a person learns this Gemara, he assumes that when it says that the mammon is chavav alav migufay, that this is a person who's a grubba ying, they would say in Yiddish. Now, there's a person who is a gross individual, not a refined individual, because anyone who's refined understands that you don't even have to be that refined to understand that your life is more precious than your money. However, there are svarim that say that this Gemara, when it talks about Shemumayne Chavlov Migufay, is referring to tzaddikim. And in fact, they cite the Rashi, and when I was learning with my son Ben Zion last night, to remind me of the Rashi, that Yaakov Avinu went back to go and get the Kelim Ktanim, those Pachim Ktanim, and Rashi says that the reason why Yaakov Avinu was machshav of the Pachim Ktanim so much, even though the Pachim Ktanim was probably not worth a whole lot, because by tzaddikim, the moment is chovav aleihem. Why is it chovav aleihem? It's chovav aleihem because they earn it honestly. They didn't go and get it through any type of stealing, theft, deception, crookedness. Everything was totally honest. By them, the moment is chovav, not necessarily migufay of giving away his neshama chas v'shalom, but it has a tremendous chavivus to them that they're willing to go the extra mile for their mamonis because it was earned honestly and not chas v'shalom through any mode of deception. Anyway, so regardless who you happen to be, what your circumstances are, it comes to avodah zarah, you have to be willing to give away your neshama. And the same thing applies to gilui arayos and shvichas damim. How do I know min nolad? So the Gemara first talks about the Gilui Arayos, the sign it says in the Braisa, Rabbi Oimer. It says by the case of the Nara Hamu'urasa. The Nara Hamu'urasa, that unfortunately a man came and he was Ma'anes, her. And remember, she's a married lady. She's Mu'urasa. So if you look at Ozbeis of the Torah Ore Shalim, maybe your Gemara might be number two. Vilana'ara. Even though it's spelled without a hey, we pronounce it with a hey. V'lanara loisasa dover. Ein l'nara chet mavis. She is totally blameless. Ki kasha yokum ish areyeh urtochim efesh kira dobaze. Just like in the case when you have chas v'shalom someone killing a victim, the victim is blameless. So too here, the nara mamuras is blameless. What are we going to do to the person that was ma'aviser? He's going to go and get skila. Assuming that they were Edom and Hasra, because the Dinam and Na'amarasa is Beskila. And if there are no Edom and Hasra, then the person will get Karis. But the Na'amarasa, she's an innocent bystander, if you will, Nebuch in this terrible hate. Now what's bothering the Gemara is, why does the Pasuk even have to go into the Kikasha Yokum Ish Ariyeyu Etzachim Nefesh Kira Davarze? Why are we making some sort of parallel example, a parable from the case of a killing and a victim? Nara Maras is enough. Lanar Linasa Dover. Loisasa Dover. Ein Lanara Chet Maves. Why? Because, like the next pasuk goes on to say, that Tzoakah Nara Marasa, the Ein Moshiela. She was probably screaming at the top of her lungs, please save me. Ein Moshiela, but no, there was nobody around to save her. And therefore, she's totally blameless, of course. You can't blame her, so certainly she's not going to be punished. So what do we need this kekashi yokum isha re'eo tzachi nefesh? Zokti Yomara, Tisanya, four lines from the bottom, Rabbi Oimer, kekashi yokum isha re'eo tzachi nefesh, kina dover ezeh, v'chima inyan lamanu mireitzeach l'namarasa. What are we learning from reitzeach l'namarasa? Says Yomara, you know, you're right. In fact, we're going to go the other way around. Instead of learning from Reitzeach to Na'amarasa, we're going to learn from Na'amarasa to Reitzeach. And we're going to go and say, Ma Na'amarasa nita latzila benafshoi. If Chas v'Shalom, somebody witnesses a shaygit going and being ma'anis, a Yiddish tochter, a Na'amarasa, then he should go and try to be matzil her, even if it means killing the perpetrator. Why is that the case? Because the Pasuk says, we don't have the benefit of the Torah or HaShalim, but the next Pasuk says, Tzoako hanara hamayrosa ve'im mishiela. She screamed at the top of her lungs, help me, save me, save me, help me, ve'im mishiela, and nobody was there around to save her. Is the Chumash, but if there was somebody to save her, he should go and save her with any power that he has, even to the extent of killing the terrible perpetrator. And therefore says the Gemara, just like this pasuk, the Ein Moshiach Allah says by Na'am Marasa, Afreitzeach Mutter Lahatziloi Ben Avshoi. If you see a Roidev running after a Nirdaf, you see a Reitzeach running after somebody else, don't ask any questions. Avad, if you can go and kill the person, if you can shoot the person and just shoot him on his legs to stop him, that's great. But if you can't, shoot the person to kill, because you have to be Moshiach, you have to go and save the victim from the terrible Ratech. Aha. That's one shot in the parallel, the hekish that the Gemara is saying. But there's another lima to be learned as well. And that is, just like by Yoritzeach, the din is that if somebody comes over to you and says, Yid, you should go and shoot Yanko, and if you don't shoot him in 3 seconds, I'm going to shoot you. Yehorik Bal Yavar, he has to go and say, I am not going to go and shoot Yanko. If you want to shoot, shoot me. Don't shoot him. Just like by Ratzeach Yorik Val Yavar, Afnam Ross is the same thing as Yorik Val Yavar, that if somebody goes over to Ayid and says, go and be ma'anis, live with that Jewish married woman, he has to say, I will not. I'm going to shoot you unless you go and live with her. Well, shoot first, because I'm not going to do it. Yehorig v'al yavar. We learned that from Ritzeach. Now the question is, how do we know by Ritzeach? Ritzeach minolei. How do we know that there is such a din? Ritzeach gufei minolad. We're on to the Amud Beis. Says Zimor, for that you don't even need a pasuk. Svaru, it's a svara. What's the svara? Tahudi asa lekami de rabba. A person came in front of rabba. Omalei. What did he tell rabba? Omali mori duroi. Mori duroi, says Rashi, means the shultoin of my kvar that I live. Meaning the local mayor, the local police commissioner of my town, came over to me and said, katli leplanya. I want you to go and kill Ploini. And if you're not going to kill Pliny, Katlina Loch, we're going to go and kill you. What should I do? Amalei, said Rabba, Niktaloch, you should be willing to have yourself killed for like Tikto, but do not kill somebody else. That's what we call Yehoreg. Go and be killed. While Yavar, don't be over, don't kill the other person. Why? My chos is the Doma Didoch Sumak Tvei. Who says in the eyes of the Rabbeinu Shlalem that the blood, your blood, is more red than the other person's blood? Of course, this is an expression. We don't mean that it's more red. We mean more that it's more precious in the eyes of the Rabbeinu Shlalem. Dilma Dama Duhu Gavra Sumak Tvei. Maybe the blood of that other individual is more precious in the eyes of Hashem. Rashi says that the reason why Rabbah is using this type of expression, because since we said that the din of v'chai behem, v'lo shiyomus behem, tells you that the din of pikuach nefesh is docha all the other averis in the Torah. That's because the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I want my yin. I don't want my children to die. B'ni b'chayri Yisrael. Kodesh Baruch Hu looks at us as banim lamokayim. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, every Jewish life is precious. So if chas v'shalom, you have to go and violate any Avera, with the exception of these three cardinal sins, violate it and don't die. However, when it comes to something like Ritzeach, why is this child more important than the other child? All children by Kodesh Baruch Hu are precious, and therefore, this is the din of Yehorig Val Yavar, when it comes to the din of Ritzicha, and now as a result of the Pasuk, the same thing applies to Nara Murasa. So therefore, by all three, the halach is Yehorig Val Yavar, and it's Docher, the Inyan of Bikuch Nefesh. I see that both Barry and Robert have a question. Robert, you didn't have a chance yet, so we'll give you a chance first. Shoot.
How can I give up my life if I'm Anshim Minadin? Just for a swara to commit suicide, It's not logical.
In Onshim and Adin would mean that I'm learning from a Kal V'chomer or from a Gzeir Shava. We're not learning Kal V'chomer and Gzeir Shava. What we're saying is that in these three mitzvahs, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote in the Torah, either in the case of Avodah Zarah, V'chom Nafshecha, or in the case of Ritzeach, I have a Svara, which is such a strong Svara that it rises to the level of Din Torah, and then I have the Din of Nara Murasa, which I learn as a derivative from the din of Reitzeach, that the Torah tells you, in all three cases, if Chas V'Shalom we're talking about a situation of Pikuach Nefesh, the Aveira outweighs the concern of Pikuach Nefesh, and a person has to allow himself or herself to be killed, and not to violate. We're not talking about suicide now. We're talking about, you have to allow yourself to be killed, and not violate these three terrible Aveiras. Barry, you had a question.
You expressed it in terms of the equality of all Jews. If the situation is a politically incorrect question, if the situation was set up where a Jew is told to kill a non-Jew or suffer being killed, would the svara still apply? Because there's an inequality here that seems to upset the svara.
Rashi only talks about a Jew killing a Jew. He doesn't talk about a Jew killing a Goy. For that, you have to look in the Mefarshim. Rashi does not discuss that. If you want to look at the Rashi, starting on the second line here on the Amud Beis, my chaz is the dom of the doch sumak tvei kloima. My daitech lemishri milza. Why do you want to permit killing that other fellow and not letting yourself be killed? Because the Torah says, I want you to live, I don't want you to die. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, my mitzvahs are very precious, but the life of a Jew is even more precious. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tevatel HaMitzvah V'yichyezeh. I waive all of my requirements regarding chazir, or eating kodshim, or doing any other mitzvah in the Torah, or any other isur in the Torah, so that you should live. Aval achshav sheyishkan Yisrael neherag. One Jew is going to be killed regardless, mamanavshach. Either the Jew that's been ordered to do the killing, or the victim of that order that will die. So one Jew is going to die anyway. My mitzvah b'teila, and unfortunately this mitzvah will be bottled, because if a Jew kills another Jew, he's going to be over on loy sirtzach. So lama yita de'eni amokim laver al mitzvah isoy. Why would a Kadosh Baruch Hu prefer that one should be over on his mitzvah and allow for a tzicha, only to go and save your life as opposed to the other Jew's life? Lama yedamach chavav alav yoyisim idam chaver cho Yisrael. Why would a Kadosh Baruch Hu say that your life and your blood is more precious than the other Jew? So again, what the halacha would be if you're telling a Jew you have to kill a goy, our Gemara doesn't discuss. You'd have to look in the poskim, the mafarshim, but Rashi explains our Gemara that we're talking about two Jews, and therefore there's no difference between the lifeblood of one or of the other. And now we start on Ashtikel 2, Uvdois, two actual live cases. It's pretty famous Gemara. Hahi Ubra de Orcha, there was an Ubra that on Yom Kippur said and agitated. Obviously an Ubra doesn't speak, but agitated in the mommy's womb and said, I have to eat. Also the Kami Rebbe that came in front of Rebbe. Omalahu, so Rebbe said, I have an Eitzah. Zilu l'choyshullah, go and whisper in the ear of the mommy that the Yom Kippur go to today's Yom Kippur, and let's see what happens. They in fact whispered in the ear, today is Yom Kippur, see if you can hold out until tonight. And Vilchisha, and the baby stopped agitating. Kari Alei, Rebbe said about this fetus, Beterem etzorcha babetin yedaticha. This is a pasuk at the beginning of Yermia. It's a very beautiful pasuk if you have the Torah or Ashole. Beterem etzorcha babetin yedaticha, even before I created you in the womb, yedaticha, I already recognized you. Ubeterem teitzei merechem hiktashticha, before you came out of the womb, you already kadosh. Novi lagoyim nesaticha, therefore I'm going to make you a novi for the nations. And therefore, said Rabbi, that's this baby inside. That this baby, when he or she listens to the word that is Yom Kippur and stopped crying, oh, this is going to be a groisa mensch. Beterem teitzei merechem hiktashticha, even before you come out, I know already that you're going to be holy. Guess what happened? When the baby was born, they gave him the name Yoichanan, and years later he became known as the famous Rabbi Yoichanan, the Godel Hador, who we have on almost every blot in Shas, Rabbi Yoichanan Rish Lakish. Nothing we know Rabbi Yoichanan. Now there was a similar story, and this similar story was with Reb Chanina. Hahi Ubra de Orcha, also the Kamed Reb Chanina, and Reb Chanina had learned the daf, and he said, oh, I know what we got to do. I'm going to do just like Rebbe did. Amalahu l'choyshula, go and whisper in the ear. V'lo yilchisha, but this baby said, no, 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 I want to eat. And we had to go and feed the mommy and the baby. So he said about this baby, kori alei, zoiru rishoy miracham. I see already that this baby from the rechem will grow up to be a zor and a rasha. The word zoir, zoiru, says Rashi, nasu zorim, v'nisnakru lavim shbashamayim. After all, it's Yom Kippur. We whispered in the air. Why didn't the baby quiet down? must be that Chas V'Shalom, this baby is going to be a Rosha Merechem, and in fact, Nafik Mina, ultimately the baby came out and became known as Shapsoi Otsar Peri. What's Shapsoi Otsar Peri? So Rashi explains that Shapsoi went and he cornered the market on food, obviously not when he was born, but later on, cornered the market, kept all the food off of, out of the market. As a result, there was a tremendous shortage. As a result, the prices went sky high, and people were not able to go and afford it. He was mashkia es ha-sha'arim. He did price manipulation and market manipulation by cornering the market, taking all the produce, not putting it on the market, and then causing misery for everybody. Look at the Rashi, Otzer Peri lahafkia sha'arim. He pushed up the prices. The Tanya ain oitzim peiris be'eretz Yisrael. Don't go and store the peiris in Eretz Yisrael for this purpose of trying to push the prices up. Anything which everybody has to eat. We're not talking about something exotic. We're not talking about taking cars off the market so that a Lexus will go up in price. We're talking about food. By cornering the market and taking the food off of the market and causing artificial shortages, that pushes the prices up, and that's considered to be a rishus. Now, before we get off, there's a very, very beautiful shtickel Torah of the Vilna Gaon, which I'd like to share with you, which is at the very end of Parshas Shemini. And Rabbi say, after I finish the shtickel Torah, also don't hang up immediately, because we have an important service announcement for Sunday morning. The last pasuk in Parshas Shemini. Parshas Shemini, as you know, has a very long, long discussion of all those animals and all of those ofos, all of the fowl, birds, all of the shrotzim, all of the arbe, those things which you're allowed to eat, which you're not allowed to eat, fish, snapper v'kaskesis, a very, very long, long list. And at the very end of the parsha ends off with a quick summary. So he's told us the name of a oif. This parsha of Shmini has the ganze Torah of the behemah, but the oif, the shrotzim, and everything. Lahavdil, to be able to discern and distinguish between hatomei uvein hatohar, uvein achaya necheles, uvein achaya shaloi siochel. And of course, the pasha pshat in the pasuk is lahavdil, to go and differentiate between tomei and tohar, what you're not allowed to eat and what you're allowed to eat. And those living items like chayas and behemas or shrotzim or goy arbe, etc., which things are edible and which things chayas which you're not allowed to eat. That's a posh pshat. However, the Vilna Gaon says a beautiful, beautiful pshat. And he says, if you see a pregnant woman walking down the street, and now you're thinking to yourself, what type of child will this grow up to be? Will he or she grow up to be a tzaddik, tzaddikus, or chas v'sholem, a rasha? You want to be mavdol bein atamei uvein atohar. It's very hard to tell. Who knows what this child will be when he or she grows up? I'll tell you, bein achaya necheles, see on Yom Kippur, if the baby starts agitating, will this chaya, will the mommy say, I have to eat? That's a simon that the child will grow up to be a tamei. However, if the mommy says, no, I don't have to eat, Baruch Hashem, you whispered in my ear that it's Yom Kippur, I'm not going to eat, then hatohar. So to distinguish between whether this baby is going to be a tomei, a shabsoi, otzer peri, or whether the child is going to be a tohar, going to be a Rabbi Yochanan, test it out on Yom Kippur. You can only test if the baby is agitating. The baby is agitating, whisper in the ear. And if the baby stops and is quiet, then a chayin necheles. You know that the baby is going to be a chayin necheles. If the baby insists on eating, then you know it's going to be a tummy. Then a chayin shaloi siyachem. If the mommy holds back and says, I don't have to eat, oh, that will be a tohar. Now you're going to say to yourself, come on, that's so remote. Chayo over here is not talking about a pregnant lady. Go to the next passing in Parashas Tazria. Davar ben Yisrael leimor. Ish kes ki Tazria b'yolda zohar. From the Smichus HaPsukim, says the Vilna Gaon, you see that the word Chaya here is being merames, is a remes to our Gemara, that the Chaya is talking about a pregnant woman, and not talking about what you can eat and what you cannot eat. My children, when they heard this pshat the first time, they told me, I think it was Yechiel, Rabbi Tzion said it's also, it's consistent in the style of the pasuk, because the pasuk on the surface says lahavdil bin tamei bin tahor, means non-kosher and kosher, tamei and tahor. And then the pasuk continues on bein achai and necheles, kosher, bein achai shaloi siyachol, non-kosher. L'chore, the pasuk, if we want it to be symmetrically consistent, stylistically consistent, it should say lahavdil bin tamei bin tahor, bein achai shaloi siyachol, non-kosher, bein achai necheles, that is kosher. So this is a further, if you will, support to the Vilna Gaon, that we're not talking about the simple pshat, but this pshat al pi drush, al pi remez, that he wanted to be able to discern whether a child is a kosher child, not a kosher child, whether he or she is going to grow up to be a tohir or a tamei. See what happens here in Kippur, when you whisper in the ear whether the chai says, I have to eat, or the chai is willing to say, I won't eat. Yes, sir.
Unfortunately, I think the Gemara Kedushin says Rabbi Yochanan's mother did not survive childbirth, though.
Okay.
So it's ironic. It's ironic that.
But it doesn't say that if that happened because of Yom Kippur, she could have.
It's surprising. I remember when I first learned this Gemara, and then I came across that it says his mother died in childbirth.
Okay.
His father died before childbirth. Mm-hmm. I thought myself a sad twist to this.
Well, it's certainly by Abaya. It says by Rabbi Yochanan as well. I have to check that out. Abaya, it says that the father died during the pregnancy and the mother died in childbirth. Okay, we'll look it up. If it's Kedusha, it's probably Lamed Aleph and Midbeis. We'll check it out in Yetz Hashem. But again, that's unrelated to Yom Kippur. That's just in general that he and she passed away, which is unfortunate, but it is what it is. Now, getting back to the service announcement that I said, Yetz Hashem.